Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. And it is Feedback Friday. And so I guess the the one question I've been asked the most is, how am I doing? And I'm on the mend. It's just a long road when your immune system isn't like it should be. And so, you know, you got to, you know, get a lot of rest. You got to take it easy. And both of those things are things that I have a hard time doing. And so I will say, and I said that the worst is past, but it is, it's just when you think, oh, well, it's all behind me, but it's not really. It takes a little while. Right now we're, I guess, 2+ weeks into this. So anyway, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your thoughts and concerns. I really do appreciate it. I know that it won't be this week. It'll be next week. We'll probably not, when I say next week, not the week of the 13th, but the week of the 20th of March, we'll be doing a national call. Now, if you want to participate in the call, you need to either send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and talk about what you are interested in. And what we're going to do today is kind of talk about, you know, how to, you know, become a part of this Reclaiming the Republic network. And you don't have to pay dues. You don't have to, you know, buy into anything, or it's nothing out of your pocket per se. However, for you to really start making a difference, you have to do certain things. And so we'll get into that. But let me first cover some obligatories as well as do a follow-up on a couple of people in the past that have reached out to me, and I've not heard back from them. And so Ken is, you know, one person I hadn't heard back from. Jeff was another. And doggone it, I think it was John that I hadn't heard back from either. So there's a few gentlemen in Baltimore. I'm trying to remember where the other gentleman was. I don't know if he actually gave me a location. But anyway, I think that was Jeff. But if you're still interested in actually figuring out what it takes to start creating a constitutional county, it just takes a little bit of focused time. You have to focus your time on getting people to, you know, come to the knowledge of, you know, what a constitutional county would be like. Let people understand that, you know, you can actually create a bastion of protection away from the state government and federal government. Now, we can only create so much protection, but what we can do is we can put your state on the path of actually forcing the federal government into compliance, because that's the bottom line. I mean, the end process, the process that cleans everything up, is Republic Review. Republic Review will force the federal government into compliance. And if you want to understand Republic Review, just go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as it's right there on the homepage. The bullet process, the description of, or the argument for, Republic Review and the process of, you know, what is that process? It's right there. And if you want to see what we're doing, this past year we actually had two bills, one in South Dakota and the other one in Wyoming. Hopefully we can get one started in Idaho, and hopefully we can get one started in Montana. So that we have four states in the next year. Now, some states like Wyoming, it's really tough to get a bill actually, you know, passed in a budgetary year, because Wyoming flips back and forth between a regular session, a general session, and a budgetary session. So anyway, what we want to do is just go through the couple obligatories that we have. First off, we do have the Reclaiming the Republic YouTube channel. If you could kindly, you know, check out a few of our videos, make sure you subscribe to the channel. And this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and this is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. So let me dive into, because I think this is the prevailing question, you know, what can little old me do? What can I do to actually, you know, get a movement started in my county? Now, first off, you have to be willing to just get out and meet people. I mean, if you're an introvert, you need to probably really extend yourself outside your comfort zone. But as I tell people, the best places to go are those places that are currently operating and meeting in your county, you know, to do what they think is the best for the county. Now, the number one type of entity or number one kind of groups you want to target in that capacity would be the parties, because there are people that are meeting on a monthly basis, sometimes even more than that, to, you know, contribute to improving government. Now, they may not be actually contributing to improving government, but that's what they believe they're participating in. They believe that they're a part of a cog. They're a cog in a wheel that is going to have a, you know, an impact. And they want to make the best impact they possibly can. Now, a lot of times people become, let's just say, disenchanted by the party. Now, bottom line, you'll hear me go over, if you go through my podcast in the past, you'll find that I actually go into historical detail of how it's been the parties that have been decimating and destroying our Constitution. Now, that doesn't mean that this is, you know, something that, you know, happens overnight, nor is it something that, you know, is some plan, you know, constantly moving forward. At the national level, absolutely, and in the political level, absolutely. But at the grassroots level down in your county, 9 times out of 10, most people are completely oblivious to this stuff. And even in the leadership, they really believe that they're doing good things, especially in some of these dark red counties, in dark red states. And so they're going, you know, how come the rest of the country isn't getting on board with this? You know, why aren't they doing, you know, and recognizing, you know, these important issues? Well, that's just because it's not about issues, folks. It's not about, you know, how clever you can make a comprehensive platform to, you know, speak to all the mores and all of the, again, issues of the day. It's all about constitutional compliance. And so you have to help people start realizing that it's all about constitutional compliance. The government is doing things it has no authority to do, and that we have to focus on getting everybody to, you know, understand what, you know, we're supposed to be doing, what we need to be focused on. And the focus is, one, first, understanding. So one of the first things you're going to be doing is you're going to help people get involved in a process called definitizing. And actually, there are ways you can really, I think, speed up the process in your county if you're willing to actually have, you know, take the time to have open and honest conversations. And some of the open and honest conversations need to be with your county commissioners, need to be with, you know, party members, party leadership, other grassroots groups, other activist, political activist types of grassroots groups in your county. And, you know, get them to realize that they're a part of the problem. Everybody that gets focused on these myopic issues, anybody that goes into the county, and not nine times out of 10, the county party is a big tent for lots of little tents. And what I mean by that is when you go into the party, you'll find that there are groups, you know, there may be demographic types of groups like Hispanics, Blacks, women, and so forth that, you know, are there, you know, interested in furthering the, you know, a growth and awareness for their particular group. And every time a person does that and they get other people to focus on, you know, Hispanics in the Republican Party, all they're doing is they're turning their back on the Constitution. It, folks, it's not about race. It's not about gender. It's not about sexual orientation. It's not about, you know, what government can do for you. It's about compliance to the Constitution. You want to solve our problems? Get government into compliance with the Constitution. That's the secret right there, period. So what I try to help people understand is that if you're going to get started, you need to create an organization. And it is my recommendation that you create an organization that is unique and focused on your county. Now, I tell people all the time that the most fitting organization you can create is an unorganized militia. And as much as that sounds like an oxymoron or, you know, a contradiction, it really isn't. But what you have to do is you can call yourself the First Amendment Petition Militia or something like that. But, well, going into a break, so I don't want to bleed into the break itself. Sometimes when I'm, you know, covering lots of stuff, I will go beyond. So let me just stop myself here and we'll pick this back up with the unorganized militia and what you can do after this promo. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
The naming of the organization. Now, I'm okay with whatever you want to do. As a matter of fact, I know Bob Schultz and the We the People Foundation is trying to start county organizations that are a part of the We the People Foundation. And I think they have broken down the domain name of the We the People Foundation down to states. This has to be a county effort. And what you have to start doing is you have to start helping people understand that, you know, the county is the center of your political focus. Now, you may have a population center like, you know, a city in that county. And that population center, the bigger the city, the more clout it has in the county. And nine times out of 10, they drive government for the county and even sometimes for the state. You know, look at L.A., look at Seattle or Portland or Chicago. I mean, a lot of states have only one really big city, Nevada, right? Las Vegas. And so when you start looking at, you know, this population center that you have, well, you got to make sure that, you know, you're organizing yourself in a way to help people start shifting their paradigms, because right now everybody's paradigm is on a democracy. And what that means is, oh, well, you know, the city comes up with these great ideas. You get these people from California that move in and start building up your city. Look at what happened with Portland and Seattle. Look what's happening in Utah. And, you know, so all of these people come and Californicate your state because that's what happens. And, you know, you see all of, lots of states say, hey, please don't Californicate our state. And so I go, okay, you know, it's pithy. It really gets to the point. But what we have to start helping people understand is that you at your county level have autonomy from the rest of the counties in your state, and that you need to start getting people to start thinking in this local milieu, this environment that we call the county, that getting people to start realizing that, you know, you need to start guarding your elections. And so this is why, you know, if you go to, and you need to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the Take Action page. And if you go to the Take Action page, and, you know, I'm working with somebody to help me redesign the website, and in some ways that, you know, we may not have a Take Action page per se anymore. I don't know if that's possible to save some of this, because I can just tell you, go to my podcast page and boom, you can go there. But because there will be these pages, but, you know, I'm an old school, you know, web person. So I've never taken the time to learn all of this stuff. So I've been doing everything myself. And the intent is to be able to continue doing everything myself. And so I've got, you know, somebody helping me and assisting me. And I you know, God bless the one involved in all of this, or those involved in all of this, for, you know, trying to help. Because what we want to do, the goal is to make the website a better interface for you, those of you who actually live on a handheld device. Because HTML, the old HTML web pages like Reclaiming the Republic currently, does not have or does not interface well with handheld devices. And so we're addressing this. And that way we can actually get hopefully more people invigorated in using the website. And so there's a lot, I'm really looking forward to change. I'm okay with change. I just want to make sure that, you know, I need to adjust my paradigm to be able to, you know, adapt to change, right? That's what we all have to do. And so that's what you have to do at the grassroots level with all of these people. So there's nothing better. There is absolutely nothing better than walking into the Republican Central Committee meeting at your county and just having this, you know, direct conversation with these folks. And as a matter of fact, it doesn't happen in your first meeting. You'll have to go back 3, 4, maybe 6 times before you really start making good, strong connections, because those people that you may not have met in the first, you know, time, second, third, but they're listening, they're seeing you, and they're hearing kind of what you're saying, but they're all busy. It's information overload. When you get into a large party, there's a lot of things going on, and nine times out of 10, because people are focused on what they're doing, what they're saying, or who they're interacting with, that they can't focus on every single conversation. Now, when I was going through, when I was in the intelligence community, we were actually deployed, you know, over on ship, and we had these different disciplines. A couple of the human guys, you know, would always get us to, you know, start trying to collect and gather intelligence based on the environment. In other words, the challenge was to go into a party and engage in a direct conversation with somebody else that you are, you know, with, and hopefully they know, you know, that what you're there collecting, and they're collecting, and so you kind of have this very simple engagement with them at, you know, throughout the course of this party, so that you can actually listen to multiple conversations at the same time. And you kind of take note of who is talking about what they're doing, where, when, and what have you. And by doing this, you're actually, you know, because you're sensing all of this information, but nine times out of 10, you never can really follow those threads. And this is an awesome exercise in learning how to collect information on different people that, you know, you walk next to, and you just basically, as you kind of meander through the crowd, you can go and collect on, you know, what's happening around you or the conversations that are happening around you, and nobody would be the wiser. And so the more conversations that you can follow, you know, in a given point in time, the better collection capabilities you obtain. And so, to be clear, getting back to you going into a Republican Party, Constitution Party meeting, or what have you, when you go in there, you know, just try to be as focused as possible. It's not like you're in there really gathering intelligence, but you want to, and you got to know that they're gathering intelligence on you. And so what you need to be is consistent with your message. And if it's all about the Constitution, then you're going to become the guy or the gal that is Mr. or Mrs. Constitution. Oh, there's that person that always talks about the Constitution. Huh. Is that a bad thing? Heck no. As a matter of fact, that's a great way to getting people to acknowledge or understand. You know, I had classmates when I was in a core group. We, you know, created a, what do you call that? A cohorts, you know, you kind of assemble as you start off, because I went into a business school and got my bachelor's degree in business, and you kind of created a learning team, and there's, you know, several different classes that are going at the same time. So you cross paths with other people that are in that same, you know, tract that's, you know, working on their business school. And, you know, they pick up their classes whenever they're available. So anyway, over the course of, you know, my 2-year degree, as we were kind of engaging in, you know, these different classes and so forth, a couple of people that were part of my cohort, they just said, you know what, they just loved being in the cohort with me, because I was the old guy that, you know, always made the, you know, every professor, especially if they were a left-leaning liberal professor, you know, I always made them pay when they tried to bring in politics or tried to spew some inaccurate information. I remember in economics, this one professor tried to allude to the fact that America was one of the least compassionate nations because we hardly do anything for the world. We hardly contribute anything. And you know, then I pulled out the CIA fact book and I told the guy, well, you know, look at how much money we spend in ensuring that commerce flows, you know, freely throughout the seven seas. You know, and every nation benefits from that. They benefit from being able to sell their goods and buy goods on the open market. So how can you say that? Look at the cost of that, what that costs to do that. It's all about paradigms, folks. And so, you know, it was, I enjoyed it. And, you know, I love learning, but the fact of the matter is, folks, that it, getting back to focusing on, you know, what you're doing, when you start actually creating a reputation for yourself, you know, because most of the stuff was, you know, in education for me was refuting the progressive agenda because they were always trying to throw that down our throats and, you know, just jam, jam, jam. As a matter of fact, there was plenty of points in time in the business school where they were trying to get us to, you know, bend over backwards to placate, you know, the growth of women in business and so forth. Oh, well, because women don't have a chance. And the reality was because I actually was functioning in business and I had women working for me and I tried my best to promote the women working for me. They did not want the promotion. They had children. They had responsibilities in their home that they just weren't willing to make those types of sacrifices. So, you know, what the heck are we doing? Are we overcompensating? Absolutely. But anyway, I digress. What we want to do is we want to get, when we get back from this promo, we'll be more focused on what you have to do to get a movement going in your county.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so there are certain roles that you have to fulfill when you get started. And the first thing, you know, if you go again to the beginning county militia structure, you go to, you know, the Take Action page. And actually, let me go to the Take Action page, and it is the template for building a constitutional county. It is the second document down on that page. And so if you download that, it's a line and block chart, and there's not a lot of kind of explanations of what you have to do when you're looking at this. But as you look at this on that very front page, that, you know, pea green page, there are these roles that are all kind of inclusive, and that's you. Now, here's the beautiful thing going in, getting started. You don't have to actually write your first petition. We have petitions already written for you, and we're writing more currently, so that everybody that is right now out there listening to me and helping in this cause, writing petitions, Paul Venables being one of them, Paul Venable actually got one of the petitions. It's our fourth petition on the petition page. But if you, and we've got more others coming. We've got some coming from Wyoming, South Dakota, Virginia, and so forth. So as you get started, you know, we may have 10 petitions by that point in time, because right now we got four up. And we're going to be focused these next few months on getting petitions done, because what this does is it gives you a hardcore starting point. And what I mean by this is you now have something to walk into your county commissioners. And actually, what you want to do is you know, before you walk into your county commissioners, get some people to sign this, get some people to show up with you so that they can record you presenting and actually in it, you know, doing all of these things simultaneously. Reach out to your county commissioners and say, hey, do you know any of these guys? You know what? I'll tell you something. If you live in a dark red county, there's a good likelihood that a couple of them, if not all of them, are, you know, Republicans, and they're going to show up at that Republican Central Committee meeting. And you can get to know them that way. You can shake their hands and say, hey, you know, I voted for you, whatever. And you can start getting them to watch the county commissioner video series that we have. We got this two parts up. I was supposed to get the third part done, but what ended up happening is I got sick and had to reschedule. Because I was unable to go this week. Yeah, it was supposed to actually happen this week. So I will get that rescheduled for later on this month, and I will have part three up, and part three will cover the clarification on nullification and the clarity on what we need to do, what has to happen, you know, and it'll be focused then towards the county, because the next step is going into the Enabling Act of, you know, for me, the Washington State Enabling Act, which was the Enabling Act of February 22nd, I want to say 1888 or 1889. Anyway, and I'm going to show them what this Enabling Act states so that we can, you know, go through this thing line by line and say, okay, so where did the federal government have the authority to dictate that we had to provide public land for the federal government? Where is that enumerated in the Constitution? That one, they can do that. And two, where in the Constitution did we, the states, delegate to the federal government its ability to possess public lands in the state? Both of those actually fly in the face of common sense, logic, and reason. The fact that the federal government was doing those things and creating the state. So what they were doing is they were using their responsibility of admitting states into the union as a power to basically subjugate states to the federal government. They never had that authority to do that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to examine, you know, the role that the counties have in the state government, just like the states have in the federal government. And anyway, so you can start, you know, getting people to get educated. We're trying to give you everything you can and everything you need to actually start getting educated on the Constitution. And so I'm going to, as soon as I can, you know, catch up here, I'm going to actually start getting these videos uploaded, or I should say my audio podcast uploaded regarding the Constitution and the colored Constitution. So anyway, this very first page identifies the different roles that a person has to basically perform to get things moving. And not necessarily in this order, but communications and public relations. You need to start, you know, communicating and getting people to start, you know, talking about constitutional compliance and getting the county organized. You need to be a recruiter. You need to actually get people to recruit them into becoming a part and becoming committed to making a constitutional compliant county and getting people to start focusing on constitutional compliance. So the way you do that, and the best way to recruit, is as people become interested, you start training them. Now, what do you use for training materials? You use these petitions that we have. You use these videos that we have. You use, you know, the content that we have, which will actually help you kind of walk you through, you know, what is the real problem? That article there is the first step. You're reading that and then reading Martial Law in the 21st Century and then reading The Unseen Teeth. And hopefully I'll have my First Amendment petition done. And then the last article I'm going to write is Restoring Common Law Courts to the County. And then who knows, maybe the final thing is, what your county government needs to do to empower the people to basically seize and, you know, take better control of their county and state government. So, you know, you need to start training people. You know, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. You just need to get people equally informed on these matters of the Constitution. You know, it takes, you know, depending on what the topic is, you know, because I currently have, you know, people that have a particular challenge, and one particular challenge currently that I'm dealing with is the use and the concept, because people have this negative connotation towards the militia. So I have this hurdle to overcome with, you know, some individuals regarding using the words militia, because they just, oh, well, that's a dirty word. And actually, it's not. It is not a dirty word. As a matter of fact, every person that's a U.S. citizen that is an adult is a part of the militia. You know, so this is what our education system and media has done, is they've label lynched a word, or they've created a bad connotation, which is absolutely inaccurate. And actually, you know, is getting people to respond or react a very specific way. So what we do need to get people, it's just like if you're Christian, you know, and there's this bad connotation towards Christianity, but do you stop calling yourself a Christian? Heck no, you would. That would be like a sin, right? It's a sin not identifying yourself as a citizen militia, whether that be using the Constitution as your weapon, or whether you become a full-blown, you know, militia person in enforcing the laws of the Union or what have you. anyway, so you need to start training. And again, the heart and soul of training people and getting people to recognize, you know, these problems and what the solutions are First Amendment petitions. So you need to have some kind of petition management. You need to have all the petitions there. And by the way, you need to get the signature pages, because I think that's one of the problems people have, is they don't get the signature pages downloaded. And 9 times out of 10, they don't have them. You know, 9 times out of 10, I don't, you know, unless you ask for them. And you, the reason why is because there's some dialogue on the signature sheet that you need to be aware of. One of the most important parts of the signature sheet is that we identify the fact that your First Amendment petition may actually change. The content of it may change, but the context will not. Its focus will not change. We make these things better. We can make the argument better, and if we can, we will. And so 9 times out of 10, it's important that we let people know that the petition may change over time. And at any point in time, if you feel the change is significant enough where you don't necessarily agree with it anymore, then you have the ability to let us know that we'll, you know, please remove you from a signatory of the petition. You know, that's your right. You can change and not be a part of it anymore if you feel necessary or motivated to do that. You're not, you're not held captive because you signed it once. I want people to understand that, you know, hey, we want you to think the whole way through this process. Anyway, you're also going to start having events because you're going to have meetings. You know, eventually you're going to need to find a place to, you know, get people to come. Maybe it's your home. Maybe it's a, you know, a pizza parlor where they have a little meeting room, because lots of pizza parlors actually have little private banquets or areas for people. And, you know, they're more than happy to, if nobody's using the room, you say, hey, I've got a meeting. You know, can we order some pizza and sit back and use your little meeting room back there? Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead. And there you go. I mean, there's places within your community, 9 times out of 10. And, you know, out where I live, we have this thing called the Grange. It's like these co-ops of where, you know, the farmers, you know, have created these, you know, it's a co-use type of property. And I don't know if it's a part of the government or privately owned or what have you. It's an interesting concept, but they have the Granges out here. And so, you know, there's probably something very similar in, you know, if you live in a really rural area, because that's what you have to do. People had to create co-use areas and so forth. Anyway, we'll be right back after this promo.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so you're going to need to have some place where you can actually pull people together so people are in the same room. Some of the events may be actually doing virtual. I do not recommend using Zoom. Zoom is an application that is owned solely by the Chinese Communist Party. There's lots of things that China has, you know, basically handed us that we've started using, you know, heart and soul. And believe you me, they have an intelligence gathering apparatus that is basically incorporating all of big tech's AI crap. So, you know, try to make sure you, you know, don't do things that, you know, might make you vulnerable. But, and if you want to know what you can use for virtual, go to Free Conference Call. Check out Free Conference Call. Go to freeconferencecall.com and you can create an account with a, you know, a toll-free line. People can dial in. They can, you know, connect up via the computer just like they can with Zoom. There's all sorts of mechanisms out there that you can use. You don't have to use what the Chinese Communist Party gives us. I mean, you know, that's how they roped in the Chinese, by giving them their phones. And so as we look at the events you're going to have, the events, you know, again, can be both virtual and you can have in person. Eventually, over time, as your organization grows, you should be growing to a point where you actually get a local radio station to start airing Reclaiming the Republic content. You're part of the Reclaiming the Republic network. And we can get into all of that down the road. It takes a little while to get there. But bottom line, it is about getting people to start uniting on compliance to the Constitution. Once we start getting people to shift their focus to are backing out from their myopic view and looking at the entire Constitution and demanding full compliance to it, even though each petition may have a myopic perspective. And as a matter of fact, this is how you get people that are engaged in myopic organizations like the health freedom people, like the Second Amendment people. Get them to assist with writing a petition so that you can utilize a better Second Amendment petition. Now we've got one of those that we're hoping to do in Wyoming. There's actually a couple of petitions that we need to get out of Wyoming, but that these guys are working on. But anyway, so. Based on that first page, you'll notice that, I identify the targeted organizations that you need to actually reach out to, because they are your leaders, your local leaders in our Republican form of government. You've got, the sheriff, you've got your county legislators, you've got, the coroner, you've got, smaller municipalities, the city, council, those types of things. You have the different school boards, you have the public utility type of boards and so forth. So you need to kind of, and I tell people the best thing to do is to create a map. And it doesn't have to be a literal map of the county. It can be. And if you put it into a digital form to where you can actually put, faces and names to the different positions so that when you zoom in, you can, boom, kind of look at, this person, that they work in this office here. I mean, you can actually make a very good detailed, image, by editing it with, what do you want to use? What is it? Not PowerPoint, but Photoshop or what have you. There's probably plenty of people in your organization as you start developing. People are going to come in with talents and say, I can do that. That's something I do all the time. And boom, people will come in and be able to offer, to create what I call your battle map. Now, a battle map is if let's say you're in a purple county. That means that you may have a couple of good Republicans on the county commissioner board or the supervisor board, or you may have a couple that aren't. And so you need to identify who they are, and you need to identify when they're up for election, issues and so forth. And you start actually collecting all the data and focusing all the data on getting these people out. If they don't support the Constitution, they have no business being in office. This isn't about party. This is all about the Constitution. If you have a Republican that is not supporting the Constitution in office, then they need to be gotten rid of. And so part of the planning has to be developing and nurturing people to replace these people in office, whether it be the sheriff, it doesn't matter. You need to start identifying. See, the larger the county population, the more important it is to grow a movement, getting everybody to start agreeing that, that person's no good, because that person may actually change their tune and become a good person if everybody in the county starts actually supporting the Constitution. That's your challenge in getting people to start recognizing the importance in supporting the Constitution, and then let them defend their tyranny. Because bottom line, if they're willing to take away your liberties, that means that they're not willing to support the Constitution, which means that they're giving you all of the ammo necessary to highlight them and show, hey, this person doesn't care about our liberties. They only care about, ruling us. And they're willing to do the bidding of the Agenda 21 lobbyists or what have you. But folks, this is how you do it. This is how you start focusing exactly, what all of the issues are. And these petitions, as you start dropping these petitions, these guys are going to, if they're not in support of the Constitution, they're going to take bad positions. That's what they do. They'll take a bad position and you hold that against them. What you're doing, in essence, over the next 2 years, 4 years, is you're creating a PR campaign using everything that this person is doing against them. Let them give you every, you know, brick and arrow that you can sling at them, because that's what they're going to do. That's what they're doing in Campbell County. And so, you know, it's just a matter of time. You have to look at the long game. Don't look at, you know, them rejecting your, you know, your very special and precious petition that maybe you wrote, you know, and they're rejecting you on that. And you know that that's just wrong. And you know that, you know, they're wrong. Well, okay. But make them be wrong about everything, not just your little precious petition. Because a single issue will not be justification in the hearts and minds of the people of America, of the people of your county, to actually remove somebody. You have to give them overwhelming evidence. That's why we need to have a large arsenal of First Amendment petitions. And folks, don't worry, we've got plenty. If you don't know what petition to write, I will help you. We have a long list. And what we want to do is help everybody start working through these petitions. We got, you know, I'll just say big, ambitious petitions. And then we have, you know, these small, easy, I think they're easy to write because they're very specific to the Constitution. And so what we have to do is we have to actually start helping everybody understand what a Republican form of government is. Your county commissioner is your local constitutional representative. They have taken an oath to support the Constitution. And that means that they must support and defend it against enemies, foreign and domestic. That means that if Congress is posing a problem, then they need to become the champions in, you know, going to your state legislatures for you. Why would they be your champions? Because when they walk down the halls of your state capitol, they actually command much more respect than any person out of the county itself, because these are the people that are duly representatives of the people of the county. And everybody knows that, that one person walking down the hall represents 100,000 people or more. And so, you know, when they walk into the room of a legislator, they, you know, that legislator goes, okay, this guy, you know, this guy's a politician. This guy represents a lot of people. And if he carries himself or she carries themselves in a way that is demanding, you know, for your people as the representative of the people of your good county, they're demanding that this legislature actually starts doing its job in forcing Congress to do what they're supposed to do, then all of a sudden, everybody starts getting it. Because this is how crap rolls downhill. Even though everybody thinks the federal government is at the top, they're not. They're at the bottom. They're the very bottom. They're the base of our form of government. The states created them, the counties created the states, and we create the counties. And that's why the counties are at the top of the heap. Because they're the closest and most dearest to us. They should be the ones that govern and affect our lives the most. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.